Okay, guys, we're going to continue on. So this is this. We're continuing on. Last week was lesson 23. We, because of our discussion, went longer than I thought we would, and that's okay. So that means we're going to have to finish it up today. So I figure we're going to have lots of discussion today as well. So I want to, first of all, remind you of some things as we get ready to talk about the next issue that Paul is looking at here. I want to remind you of how to approach the Scripture. Now, most of us, when we approach the Scripture, we have a tendency to just grab a verse, and that verse speaks to me, and that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But when you read the Scripture, you have to do more than just grab a verse. You have to understand the context of everything that Paul or the writer is saying. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to go with the whole context of what he's saying. And so when we talk about Paul here, first of all, who's he? He's writing the Corinthians. Are they a perfect church? Okay, do they have problems? Okay, is he addressing the problems? Okay, so he's been addressing the problems from the very beginning. So when you get to even chapter 11, he's been talking about their gatherings. So remember, talked about ladies wanting to throw off their cultural headdress because they felt they had freedom in Christ, so they could just go without a headdress. But they're in a Greek culture, which at that time women wore a head covering, okay? And he says, you know, if they're going to participate, you know what I'm saying, they need to have a head covering on, okay? But they can pray, but they can have a head covering. Then he goes into the whole issue of how they're acting in their love feast when they're gathering and they're celebrating the Lord's table, okay? And then from there, he moves into the whole issue of spiritual gifts, and he starts off talking about in their gatherings and their exercising of the spiritual gifts. He talks about some of them are saying Jesus is accursed and acting like that's from the Spirit. And he says, no, that's not possible. That the Spirit will only tell you that Jesus is Lord. And so then he talks about the whole issue of spiritual gifts and really is addressing an abuse that's happening there among them because people just felt like they could do whatever they wanted to do. In fact, he's talked about that many times through the Scripture where people feel like they just do whatever they want to do. And he's been addressing that overall issue all along. So the last part of what I want you to see here is, let me find where it is here. All right, so when you get to verse 33, look at what it says there. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Okay, the author of confusion. And remember, I told you, he was doing that with reference to the whole issue of their using tongues and their whole issue of using prophecy. Okay? Now, let me ask a question. What do you think that word confusion means? Okay, Denny says arguing. What else? Okay, disorder. All right, that's good. Okay, so it's like creating a situation where people don't understand what's going on, okay? All right, anybody else? What do you think it means? Chaos, okay, Lori, okay. Okay, the reason why I'm bringing that up, because I had a discussion with somebody this week that came out of this lesson, and they said what John said, okay? And that is disorder. So I went back to look at the word that's used in the original languages there, and the definition is confusion, disorder. So again, he's talking about disorder, okay? So why am I wanting to set you up? Because right after this verse, he gets into the section about women, okay? So I want that to be the backdrop to what we're talking about here, because he then immediately goes into the whole issue of the role of women in their gatherings, okay? And that's going to help you a little bit, okay? Because sometimes our tendency is just grab a verse and say, this is what it means, but miss the whole point of what he's saying overall. Okay? So as we go along, you'll understand what I'm saying. So let's look at verses 34 to 36. Okay? Back to 33. For God is not the God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So he's basically giving a principle for all of the churches at that time. Verse 34. Women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. And now look at verse 36. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? All right, so let's take a look here. Now, first of all, does that sound harsh? Yeah, it sounds kind of harsh, right? Okay, so, all right, so if you just take it on face value, what is it saying? If we just take it on face value, just that section of verses, what does it say? What's that? Not believe or trust their husbands, but only, let's go back to the congregation. All right, first of all, Gene, don't jump ahead. Let's go back to the congregation. When they're in the congregation, what are women to do if you look at it face value? All right, be quiet is what you're saying, okay? And then the aspect of the husband thing is they're to go back and ask their husband the question, right? Is that what he's saying there? Seems like he's saying? Okay, anybody else, what's face value, what you see there?
It cut the disorder down by 50%.
Okay, all right, Danny. Wow, okay, all right. Brad says, talk about harsh. Okay, all right. Wow, okay. You'll have an interesting ride home today, Danny. All right, so anybody else? What face value, what does it look like here? All right, now if you take that face value, it basically means that women are just to be quiet, period, right? But is that the context? How do you know it's not the context? Well, it's not. I want you to say, let's go beyond just those verses. You're still focused on those verses. Let's go beyond those verses. How do we know, based upon what he said in the whole letter so far, that he obviously is not saying that? How do you know that? Okay, you're still focused on that portion of Scripture. Go beyond that portion of Scripture. Go to the whole letter. What has he said in the whole letter that maybe tells you there's something broader here? Go ahead, Lori. All right, that's interesting. I've not thought of that. She said the gifts have been given, but not gender specific. Okay. Anybody else? There's something more obvious. Okay, order. Okay. All right, that's good. Okay, all right. All right, nobody's grasped what I'm saying. Okay, that's not what this passage is talking about. Okay, you're jumping to Timothy, but we're not in Timothy right now. Okay. All right, that's good. All right, so let me help you. Okay, let's go back to chapter 11. What were the women doing in chapter 11? Which meant what? What were they specifically doing that he was addressing? They weren't wearing their head covering. But he said, if they wear their head covering, they can what? Not speak, but what? There's one thing that they could do in the congregation. Pray. Yeah, be a part of prayer, yes. And everybody has something. He just said earlier, right before this section, everybody has something to offer. So to take this passage and just simply say that women are just to be quiet, period. That's missing the whole context. That's not what he's talking about here. All right, let's go back to another context. In the context of what we're looking at here, He's already got a group of women who think that because they're in Christ, they can do whatever they want. That, we already know, is the context of the letter. So when you get to this point, it is obvious because he just came out of the spiritual gifts and out of the prophecy issue, as well as the tongues, that there were obviously some ladies who were going against their culture, because Greek culture at that time, and even Jewish culture, because he mentions the law, women weren't permitted to speak in public. That's not a church thing, that was a culture thing. Did you understand what I'm saying? So when they came together in their congregational meetings, when they gathered together for worship, and as they, when they gathered together, folks, it's not like we show up for an hour here. They showed up all day. Do you understand? So he's talking about when they're gathering all day, these ladies, because he's dealing with disorder, because he just right before he said, God is not the author of disorder. These ladies were throwing off their cultural whatever to say whatever they wanted to. And I almost wonder, when you read the context, if maybe they were somehow involved in the whole problem that was going on with the tongues issue and the gifts issue and so forth. Because it seems ironic that just immediately after he's talking about the chaos, okay, he's telling them, ladies, you need to be quiet. Do you understand? I don't think it's just out of the arbitrary that he's addressing the issue. He's talking about the disorder that's happening in the church. Do you understand? Now, I think we understand that, right? Because when you talk about him, let's go back. What he talked about earlier, when an unbeliever comes in, he'll think that you guys are what? Crazy. I think we can relate to that. Have you ever been somewhere? Maybe it's to an event or something, and you went in there and you came out and just said, oh, man, that was just chaos. It just seemed out of control in there. We have that in our everyday lives, right? That's what he's talking about here. So when he's talking about women here, it's not that they don't get involved in congregational life. It's that they don't add to the confusion. Now, here's the other thing that I would say. Who does he say that they need to talk to? All right, their husbands. Now, is that for every lady? Yes. And how do we know that they're not all married? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that not everyone has a believing spouse. Do you understand? Because he tells them how to be with their unbelieving spouse. Do you see what I'm saying? So take the whole letter to help you to understand specifically what he's talking about. Don't pull it out saying that women have no part. Put it in its context, and then when you understand its context, you understand what he's trying to say, okay? So look at the letter, okay? Look at the letter itself. So let's go through it here, all right? So women are not to openly question teaching in the church. They're not to openly question teaching in the church, period. That's what he's talking about here, okay? And that obviously was happening there, okay? That was obviously happening there. You know, Sawyer, you know, my son Sawyer just told me of an incident that happened. He was in a training, and with the nuke guys, the guys who handle the nuclear reactor, it's the only area in the Navy where you can question a superior out in the open. Kind of wild. Like, well, that would never happen in the Army. You know what I'm saying? Questioning an E-8 about something he's saying. Well, he said, Dad, it's because they allow it to happen because you're dealing with a nuclear reactor. And if somebody is saying something wrong, somebody has to speak up, even if you are an E4 or something. And I thought that was interesting. There, they allow, because they're talking about care of a nuclear reactor, for lower people in the echelon of rank to speak up and say, wait a minute, no, this is the procedure, whatever. It's not what you said. Okay, and he gave me a couple of instances, one with an officer and another with an E8, who didn't respond well, so, which is what a master chief wouldn't respond well in that situation. But The point is that they allow it, okay? But Paul's saying here in the church, when you have teaching, this is not appropriate, okay? This is not appropriate. All right, let's go on. Greek culture did not allow women to speak openly in their gatherings. So he said there's a proper place. A proper place, not out in the open. It's their culture, which was in the Jewish culture. In a synagogue, that didn't happen. Do you understand? We think, can I be honest with you, when we look at these passages, we think in terms of 21st century, now. We don't relate, okay? But they're kind of like, I hate to say it, the Taliban in their culture. They're patriarchal. The Greeks were kind of like that. The Jews were kind of like that. They were all kind of like that. Do you understand? And you say, well, that's not right. I understand that, but that's their culture. Let's go back 2,000 years. You're not going to change that, okay? And what was happening, they had ladies who thought because they had freedom in Christ now, and do they have freedom in Christ? Yes. Within what? Bounds. You already talked about you have freedom to do everything, but you have to what? Restrain your freedom for the sake of others. He's already talked about it. Again, the context. So here he's saying, you're in a culture, you can't just throw off, because the same ladies were probably the ones throwing off their headdress. Okay? Throwing off their headdress. All right. Some of the Corinthian women felt that their freedom allowed them to do so. Okay? That their freedom allowed them to do so. And they were having a hard time, probably adjusting, and so the apostles got to come in and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is the practice of all the church, which, by the way, most of the churches, except for the ones that were in Palestine, in Israel, were in what? Greek areas. So he can say that because the culture's the same throughout the whole area, okay? So Paul instructs these women to discuss these issues with their husbands at home. Now, that just, I know that goes against the grain of the 21st century person in North America, but that's the way it was then. All right, go ahead, Tim.
If a woman wasn't married,
then her dad.
She go to her dad.
Her dad, yeah, that's a structure that's listed in Scripture. Because if she's not married, she's not living, we think in terms of, can I be honest with you, in our culture, that my daughter may move out and she's on her own. You know, my daughter's 28. She doesn't ask dad for what to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Their culture is completely different. You basically were in the household of your parents until you got married, because by the way, unlike our culture, first of all, did your parents arrange your weddings? How would you feel about it if your dad got with her dad and figured out some sort of financial arrangement for you two to get married? How would that go? How would you feel about that? People are just kind of smirking. How would you feel about it? Yeah. Yes, because their culture was completely different. Yeah, so in that culture... No, but our feelings sometimes help us.
The 21st century, whatever. Do we follow the world's culture or the church's culture?
Yeah, I understand that. But Bruce, what I'm trying to say, though, is this. I'm trying to get people to understand how they look at the Scripture. Because if we look at it from a 21st century viewpoint and we say, oh, man, that is just so archaic. That's not for today. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this is what I'm trying to say, okay? Let's understand what it meant in that culture and draw the principles that are for our culture. Not just principles, but directives for our culture. Do you understand what I'm saying? For us as a church, yes. Do you understand? Because I've got to understand that when you look at the Scripture, don't look at it through the glasses with 21st century lenses. Look at it through the glasses of what it was in their culture. When you understand what's going on, that helps you to understand what he's saying, then you can take that and bring it to where we are today. What were you going to say, John? Yeah, ultimately, that's the issue. Order, yes. Not disorder. Yes. What were you going to say, Dan? But okay, all right.
But how much other Paul's writing are we going to, do we write off for culture? This is not exactly what the Bible says, same today, same tomorrow.
Okay, wait a minute now. Okay, I appreciate what you're saying. I'm not writing off anything. Well, but here's the thing.
What this is on the culture difference. Maybe our culture changed.
Okay, but, all right. What about the guy, this is a joke, the guy who says, I'm going to do my devotions today, and whatever the Lord tells me in his word, I'm going to do. And he opens up his Bible to the gospel, and it says, Judas went and hung himself. Okay, Lord, is that what you're telling me to do? Maybe I got that wrong. I'll turn to another section. And I hit another verse, and it says, go and do likewise.
Yeah,
wait a minute, hold on. But this is what I'm saying. We got to understand the context. If you just take it face value, you can make the scripture say anything you want it to say. But if you understand the context, the grammatical context, the historical context, the cultural context, when you read it, you understand what's going on. And then you understand, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing there. I draw out of that the command and the principles for me today in my 21st century. That's the proper accepted way of interpreting scripture. Yes, it is. But the thing is knowing how to read it. See, a misogynist, somebody who is a chauvinist, would look at that and basically say, and there are churches like this who would say, women can't do anything in church. They're to be quiet and only listen to their daddy or their husband. There are Baptist churches that hold that viewpoint, okay? And they go to this scripture to say that, but you know what? They're wrong, because that's not what he's talking about here in this passage. He's talking about, if you look at the if you stay in the letter, you understand the context is the issue of disorder. And you've got a group of women, maybe they were, quote, I hate to use the word feminist of the day, who felt that they could do anything because they have Christ, and he's already called them into account for one thing. They're casting off the head covering. Do you understand? And he just had a discussion about them going to extremes with their gifts, and he's saying there has to be order. And so this is what I'm telling you. What were you going to say, Lord? Yes, you couldn't be up there doing your music. Or anything, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Because he's talking about our gatherings, not just a worship service. And that to me is not, because he said everyone comes with a hymn, everyone comes with something, okay? Yeah, he gives us gifts. Yes, but according to some of these folks in these churches, is the gifts you're given are for you to at home. You know, because that's where you're supposed to be, is at home. You know what I'm saying? Barefoot and pregnant. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. So I just got the evil eye from my wife. I will pay for it like you will pay for it on the way home, okay? Okay, all right. They would know when they got the letter. Let's be honest. They would know when they got the letter. They know who he's talking about. We don't, because we're 2,000 years later. I don't think it's every woman in that church is doing that. But he's got a group of women that are. And like pastors, sometimes they generalize. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's generalizing. And he's making a point. Now, the point, though, he's making is authoritative, meaning there has to be order. And so there are roles and things to do. Because the first thing he starts off with when he did that, did you notice the first thing he starts off with is don't question the teaching. So obviously, what were they doing? Yeah, they were questioning what was saying in the service, in the gathering. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's the issue he's getting to. It's he's wanting order, okay? All right? Anybody else? Yeah, Tim.
Maybe you can build a little off there, but when did that stop? When did that change? From what he said in the Bible right then and there, and what goes on, what he's saying in the letter, and he's telling that, when did that time frame change?
Time frame change as far as what? I don't think it has stopped, bro. Okay? But understand, our gatherings are completely different than their gatherings. Okay? So for instance, in our services, is it appropriate for anybody to stand up? I did have this once happen to me in Canada with a dude who, where you have a service where somebody stands up and says, "That's wrong!" How would you feel if somebody did that in a service? Oh, wow. Yeah, that's kind of like, wow, what's going on over there? I did have that happen in my first church, okay, with a guy who visited who I just kept on speaking, okay? So the principle is still the same. We still follow it. Now, when you talk about a gathering like this, this is a classroom. We just happen to be in the auditorium. This is an interaction just like with a Bible study where we're tossing around I'm the one who's teaching, right? But we're discussing among ourselves. And so I don't think being silent here is the issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, Lori. Yes. 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 So in their culture, if you got a problem with going on, you go talk to the next person in line, which in their culture was who? The husband. Not in the open thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he's wanting, because ultimately, what is Paul's ultimate purpose is for the benefit of who? The church. Okay? All right, the church. Or can I keep going on? All right, yes, Lisa. Yes. Yes. Just like he said, if you want to exercise your gift of tongues, go home. Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
I wouldn't challenge you. I would go home and talk to my husband about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then I think because when he talks about women and men in the relationship, yes, he says women submit to your husband, but he also says men love your wife like Christ loves the church.
Yes. 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 Yep. 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 That's good. That's a good summation there. That's good. Yes. But okay, but here's the thing. You're not being disrespectful because that's the setting. Yeah, but that's the setting we're in right now. Right. But if you all of a sudden said during a service.
Yeah, like we're in church, I would never do that.
But okay,
like,
but what if you did do that?
Well, I'd just get you aside and ask you privately.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. If you did it in church, though, you would say that's not proper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That would be creating a problem. There were obviously in this church folks who happened to be ladies who probably were the same ones who were tossing off their head dressing, okay, who were creating problems. And he's trying to bring order back, okay? He's trying to bring order back. So Paul stresses that this is the standard held by all the churches. So in that day, that's what they held. Can I be honest with you? That's most of the churches today are holding the same standard. Okay? Most of the churches. And I've been overseas. I've been in the church. The same thing there. Okay? Same thing there. Now, let's look at the final thoughts here. So we got to wrap it up. We got four more verses. And then we can go on to the resurrection next week. Okay? Which I don't think that will cause lots of... Okay. So, okay. All right. Let's talk about the final thoughts here. Look with me at Thursday. All right, let's look. Talk verse 37. All right, here's what he says. If anyone thinks that he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. Okay, stop. Did you know what he said? So what I'm giving you as directives for how you're supposed to have order in your church, from the tongues issue to the prophecy issue to this issue about women, you know, doing whatever... He's saying, I'm saying this as a command from the Lord, okay, of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. There he goes again. What's the issue with Paul? Order, not disorder, okay? Not chaos or confusion, okay? So let's talk about it. Here it is. If anyone is spiritually mature, let them recognize the authority of Paul's teaching. That's the reality. If you're spiritually mature, you're going to recognize this isn't arbitrary, okay? If you understand what he's writing, why he's writing, and the context of the letter gives that to you, you understand what he's saying. Okay? Because he says, those who are ignorant, let them remain ignorant. Will there be people who are ignorant? Yes, there are people who just can't get it through their mind. I was going to say skull, but I mean, that's not nice. But I mean, you just can't get it through their mind that what Paul's trying to get across here. And how do I know that? Because there are churches that are doing the exact opposite of what he's saying here. And you know that. Okay? All right? So here's what he says. Paul encourages them to seek the gift of prophecy. Now, why does he encourage that gift more than the other gift? It edifies the entire church because that's the overall principle. Folks, listen. The one thing that should be guiding our congregation in everything that we do is how does it benefit others here, period. The benefit of others in their relationship with Jesus. Bottom line, that's what it should be, okay? All right, let's go on. What were you going to say, Brad?
Okay, real quick, the word prophecy, that's not necessarily telling the future 1,000 years.
No, that's bringing a word from the Lord. All right, put yourself in first century Corinth. They're in a context there and whatever they're facing, and somebody gets up and says, God gave me a word that we need to do this.
Right. Yeah.
That's prophecy.
So wisdom for the body to edify
the body. Yes, because they're an oral culture. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, by 300, they have lots of letters floating around. But the 1 Corinthians is one of the first letters written. This is considered the first letter that Paul wrote. Okay? So it's not like they've got the New Testament full